Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Here's a headline. Jerry Jones throws wild Hall of Fame party that reportedly costs $16 million.
With Joshua Briscoe.
How would I begin spending $16 million on a party? I spent like $84 at Target yesterday, and I'm still upset about it. I was buying groceries. I need those to live.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Other than baseball, Mike Gundy is currently the king of not being able to get out of his own way. Not own OAN, although that pun would have been killer if I would have written it down. But it's an audio medium, so I had to point out that accidental pun. And the brand is consistent if it's not me getting in my own way to explain an accidental pun that you wouldn't have heard if I didn't point it out. Welcome to the show, everybody. We've talked about Gundy a variety of times. We've talked about the issue from a variety of different angles, but maybe by going to someone who is covering Oklahoma State and surely has all the answers, maybe we'll finally now get to the root of it. We talk now to Philip Slavin. You can listen to him on the 10-12 podcast covering the Big 12. He also contributes to Cowboys Ride for free on SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at OKTXAR. Poke, which Rudy literally explains to me today. I finally got it, Philip. I've seen your Twitter handle many, many times, and today I figured out that those are all state abbreviations, thanks to Rudy.
Yeah, that's correct. Those are all the states that I have resided in for any significant amount of time, so.
Yeah, and it's like, here's the thing, it's not complicated, right? Like, it's not, like, it wasn't a fun puzzle. Like, it wasn't the Da Vinci Code. I just never fully got it, and that's on me. This is not a critique. This is just me admitting something to you so I feel better about it.
I mean, I'm not going to change it now, but I'm glad that you have been able to put that puzzle to rest.
Please don't change it now. I just got it. I need it to stay this way at least for a while, at least until you live somewhere else. All right, man. Look, like I said, we've taken a few cracks at this, and I feel like there's a handful of things that we should spend more time on, some things in this story we should spend less time on, probably. But if you're just taking the 30,000-foot view and you're trying to explain what you think is important or interesting from this Mike Gundy story from the last week or so, where do you begin?
I think you start with this. And everyone, and it's the apology video from Tuesday. Mike Gundy releasing a video that he shot. It's obviously read on a teleprompter. You can tell it was scripted. I don't mind that. We've seen what happened when Gundy shoots from the hip and it tends to come back and bite him. So him taking the time to write something out or having someone write something out for him so that he can sit and read it was probably the smartest move, even though some people would have preferred he say something from the heart, which you know, that could have gone sideways as well. So there's a lot of reaction to that apology. And there's really kind of three reactions. One, I care about. Two, I don't care what you have to say. There's the reaction of Mike Gundy shouldn't have apologized. He didn't do anything. These players are trying to take over the team. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have time for you. I don't think you actually understand how football works whatsoever. And if you would like to go back to coaching football in the 1970s, you're welcome to go do so. There are those who don't appreciate the apology, or they were mad he didn't apologize on Monday in the first video with Chuba. And then he apologizes on Tuesday. And then they move the goalpost away, as my good friend Joel says, because he used a teleprompter or didn't apologize the way they thought he should or didn't acknowledge this. Mike Gundy is not a man who tends to apologize a lot, and I don't mean that as an insult to Gundy. He's just not he says the way he thinks, and he moves on about it. So for him to actually realize the importance of the situation, not to sit down and give an apology and record it and put it out, is, I think, what matters the most. And the reaction, the third reaction, the one that matters the most, is the players who were on the side of Chuba Hubbard on Monday, the ones who were the most vocal, including Chuba himself and Eamon Ogbonigbemiga, and other players that have, for the most part, retweeted, quote tweeted, reacted to that video positively. And I think what matters the most from that video is this isn't about you. It's not about me as a fan. It's not about whoever in the media wants to have an opinion about this. Yes, this is playing out for all of us because it was made public, because the dirty laundry was aired out for everyone. But this is a matter that matters most to those within the program who know all the information that we don't all know. I don't know everything. I don't think anyone outside of that program, any player, can say they know everything that's going on. If they did, I don't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going on internally is what matters the most right now.
And so I do want to circle back to some of that and some of the specific things and the impact of those, but to kind of step back to earlier, this is a point Rudy brought up earlier that I think is a really good one. Can you try to put Mike Gundy's standing in Oklahoma State? Can you try to put that into context and explain how he is seen there before any of this?
I think, honestly, you have a fan base that for the most part supports him. You'd love to win more than two Bedlams.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to not win 7-8 games the last two seasons when he's making, $5 million a year. He says what he wants and shoots from the hip, and he can get away with it because, as some others have mentioned, he's basically unfireable. His buyout, if they tried to fire him, is roughly $16 million.
God.
Oklahoma State is not going to spend $16 million, right, to get rid of a football coach that wins games, even if it's not as many as everyone would like, and it's not against Oklahoma. You're not going to pay that money to get rid of Mike Gundy. You'd be foolish to do so. But I think as of late, he's a guy who, because he has that kind of leverage and because he loves to shoot from it, but because he's been praised so often for his kind of antics and freewheeling and you never know what he's going to say, a la Mike Leach, I think he started trying to, I don't want to say he's pushing the boundaries, but he's allowing himself to be even more open about his thoughts. And I would say a little bit of word vomit, and it's not playing well. I was talking with Scott Wright of the Oklahoma, and I want to give him due credit here. I believe he also mentioned some stuff on the Paul Feinbaum show, but there is a group within Oklahoma State, a group of combination of donors and some with power, people who have some say-so at the university, who would like to see Mike Gundy go. A lot of that really started escalating after the unprovoked quotes about OAN back in April, him calling the coronavirus the Chinese virus, him talking about getting players on campus in May because we need to get, money rolling through the economy. There is a group that would like to remove him. Now, again, he's basically unfireable unless you can do so with cause.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can take that information and say, well, then the apology was only because he had to. Well, we're all pretty stubborn people, and sometimes we don't really want to stop and realize the error of our ways until we absolutely have to. I think Gundy's got some work to do. I think he's got some work to do to not be a PR issue for Oklahoma State, which I think he has been pretty much this calendar year, especially with as big of a season as 2020 is supposed to be. We've got Spencer Sanders coming back, Tyler Wallace, Chuba Hubbard. It's the third year for your defensive coordinator. This is the year that fans and those who cover the team have circled. This is the year we can find out if Jim Knowles' defense is going to work. You've got a lot of guys coming back. I think that according to Bill Connolly's returning production numbers, Oklahoma State ranks 9th or 10th in returning production for this season.
Hmm.
So it's a big year. It's a big year for OSU. And so far, we're already dealing with the issues with the basketball team, with what the NCAA did to them. And now you have to pile this on top of it. Boynton's got a lot of goodwill on the basketball side. I think Gundy's lost a lot of his, except for those who just, want to view this as he should be able to say and do whatever he wants, which is fine. You are welcome to say and do whatever you want. This is America. But just like anything else, there are consequences to it. I can't come on this show and say offensive things to you and be invited back.
Right.
So, like I said, overall, I think most people want – we have enough – let me speak as a fan. We have enough emotionally invested in Oklahoma State and in Mike Gundy over the last 15 seasons to say, I would like to see positive change, and I would like for his reputation to not be tarnished because of this, but to come out on the other side positive.
Whenever you talked earlier about, the in the locker room stuff is going to be what ends up being most important. and, you know, the kind of his standing now being wobblier among some of the big donors and all of that. What was the impact, what is the impact from your perspective on Hubbard and Ogbonigbeniga? I almost got there. I hit a speed bump. I tried twice. What's the impact of both of them? I gave it a good go. Of both of them speaking out and them trying to use their voice to say, hey, things need to change here. Like, how much did that change the dynamic around that whole conversation?
Well, and I think Ogbonigbeniga has some, but it's really about Chuba.
You are showing off now, I will say. That was you showing off. On
Ogbonigbeniga?
Ogbonigbeniga. I got it.
There are people in Oklahoma who still can't pronounce his last name well. I don't know why I can't, but...
You're nailing it, and you're flexing for the camera. I'm just letting you know that we see it, okay? We know what you're doing here. You keep saying... I'll let you say it again right now. Go ahead.
Ogbonigbeniga?
That's just so natural. I got Azubuki like that.
I'll just call it Amen. Azubuki? Yeah, I can.
Yeah, it took me a while though. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not really about Amen. It's mostly about Hubbard.
It's not. It is about Hubbard. It is. You have a guy who, however you feel about the Heisman or not, is a preseason Heisman candidate. He is the returning rushing leader from NCAA last season. He's got one season left. He is the face, he's the name everyone in this program knows. He's a guy across the country that people are aware of. This is a time where not just college athletes have unprecedented power and leverage. Black college athletes have a level of leverage and power they have never had before at all. And in Oklahoma State, in the program, if you wanted to find the one player who is absolutely the one that can make this happen the way it did, it's Chuba Hubbard. And from following him, and I got the opportunity to talk to him before he got on campus, and from those kinds of interactions, like, he's a different guy. He is exactly the guy you see. He is a guy that cares. He's trying to start a nonprofit. But he's still in college. He's trying to get a nonprofit going because he feels so strongly about what's going on in our country right now. That kid has so much power and frankly the bravery to do this. But I don't think if Eamon had done this, it would have done something. I tried to not flex it. If some other player, like Calvin Bundage, Tylan Wallace, if Tylan Wallace had done this, he probably would have had a similar stir because, again, it's one of your marquee players. It's a player that when you list the guys that are most important to Oklahoma State achieving the goals for 2020 that they have set in front of them, Tylan Wallace, Spencer Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, like those three names are the ones you're going to hear over and over and over again. But I think Chuba, even of those three, is the one who no one could have gotten this going in the way that it did except for him. And mm-hmm. And even then, I don't know if previous seasons, if you had someone with the national awareness that Chuba Hubbard has since maybe Justin Blackmon, maybe James Washington when he was here. But it's just like him doing it was like it was a perfect storm almost. Of that's the one guy that if someone was going to try and make this happen, he was the one.
You again, kind of within the deeper cut into this, like I feel like a lot of people now have sort of gotten distracted by the OAN t-shirt, like because what this has brought to light is LC Greenwood, who just transferred, said, I was called a hood rat and a thug on multiple occasions, being threatened to sent back home, all because wearing a do-rag and sleeveless shirts. He tweeted that and then deleted it. Others have tweeted about, like, Gundy pretending to be on the phone whenever he saw him in the hallways and things like that. And now we're getting, like, this story that was reported at the time, but it's resurfacing from 1989 of Gundy using the N-word a bunch in a game against Colorado. Like, whenever you get to those things and you go past the t-shirt and go to all the other issues that are now either coming to light or back to light, whenever you talk about players having power, you're talking here about a coach that's got to recruit. I mean, like, in the most specific ability to do your job sense, this feels like a tremendous issue for Gundy and Oklahoma State, even without the problems we can all have with this on like a human level.
Yeah, so let's hit those three points and then we can talk about recruiting. First off, The story from back in his playing days, to me, only fits this conversation if there are accusations of him using the N-word nowadays. That's no different than a guy getting drafted on draft night, and we pulled up his tweets from when he was 15 years old. Like, trying to pull things up about this is who he is because he did something that long ago. If we were all judged by the things we did in our youth, we are all horrible people, and frankly, we're all going to hell.
Right, okay?
So let's bury that one. That is, that kind of stuff irritates me, and that those in the national media trying to keep a story going and involving themselves into it because they want to feel important.
Can I hop in on it real quick? Then, because I do want to let you touch on all those points. The reason that I do think that I would argue that this is relevant is if you go back draft night, someone gets drafted, and you find something from when they were 14 or whatever. I'm with you that ends up being a type of digging for a story that ends up being easy to move past because you can say, hey, you said this when you were 13. Are you evolved as a human? They go like, yeah, and here's evidence of that. Cool. That's done in a second. The reason that I do think this is relevant, at least on some level, is because we're not seeing allegations of him using that same word now, but we're still getting all of this very racially tinged language that players are openly accusing him of using. And I think that at the very least, we're trying to understand a portrait of this person's character. And so I do think that you can go back and see, okay, it was like that then. Do I believe that he's fundamentally changed now? I do think that part of some of those critiques are totally fair to say, that we can't use 1989 to determine 2020, but as we're sort of, I feel like I'm connecting dots on who this dude is, and I feel like that's an old dot, but a dot, I guess, is where I would make my slight contention there.
And that's fine. I understand the point of including it. I just think that it's not fully relevant. It's not irrelevant, but I'm not sure it's something that needs to be brought up and used against him in this. If that makes sense. I'm not trying to defend Gundy in any way, shape, or form here. I'm not okay with that. He said, I'm not saying he didn't say it. I'm not saying he didn't lie. I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. If it was 1989, I was five.
Right.
I don't know anything.
It's less relevant than whatever he said yesterday. Him being a full adult now. Yes, I think that's fair.
Now, I will say this about the two players who made those particular comments about being called bug and those things. I'm always I never lean on the side of players who have left the program for whatever reason. I tend to draw about a middle line. I don't like to be in the camp of, well, they left, so they're just angry, so they're saying whatever they want. I think we over-exaggerate that. But I do think there's some amount of you left the program. There's obviously some disgruntled behavior, something that you were disgruntled about. I'm not saying what they said didn't happen. I don't know. I have no idea of knowing. But I would take their comments less relevant than I do those who are in the program, if that is fair.
If you're looking for something to be disgruntled about, being disgruntled about this would track. But yeah, sure. I mean, I understand that.
So all this said, like, I went back to that first point of like, I'm gonna run with the players who are in the program right now and their feeling on things. I am. As for the recruiting, yeah, this is a huge problem for a head coach who already gets criticized by the fan base and at one point by his own athletic director for the recruiting and where it has rated over the past roughly 7-8 years, about 2011. It hasn't been where people think it should be. And I don't want to sit here and go into all the reasons that it both could be better, but probably won't be as good as Oklahoma State fans want it to be due to economics and athletic department budget, having Oklahoma in the same state, blah, 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 and all these other things. But I will say this, there is a point there with, this sorry ain't going to cut it. The sorry is not going to help on the recruiting trail. Coaches are still going to be able to, if they want to, use this against Oklahoma State, which is why, to me, moving forward, the video is a step. It is far from the end of all of this. It's not even close to the end of it. Oklahoma State football has not been, especially under Gundy, especially the last few years, has not been what I would consider a transparent program. Not that most college football programs are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all Kansas. We're not going to allow an ESPN documentary into our locker room.
And you may have noticed that KU's been pretty good. There's nothing that they're currently worried about. So yeah, that's win-win there. Yeah.
To quote Chuba Hubbard, when he quote tweeted the Gundy apology, it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that applies to everything. This is a time where Oklahoma State needs to be incredibly transparent. They cannot hide from what is going on. They need to lean into it. They need to be vocal about what these changes are that are being made, about the problems that there were, and how they are fixing them. Because until they do that, this will haunt them, and it will follow them, and it will follow Gundy. And it will be the end of his career at Oklahoma State if they do not handle this correctly moving forward, period.
Yeah.
Because not being able to recruit, the team starts losing more, that group that wants him out is going to get their way.
Yeah.
Like this, they have to be Big 12 media days. It's going to be virtual in July. Coaches are allowed to have two players. I am saying this on my podcast. I'm saying this on the OSU podcast. I will write this. I will keep saying it. If Gundy brings anybody other than Chuba Hubbard and Eamon Ogbonigbemeka, I feel like they're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah,
those are the two guys who are the most vocal. Those are the guy on offense and the guy on defense who seem to be not only strong leaders in the program, but strong leaders in this discussion of change. From what I understand, they were both involved with the conversations with Gundy about what needs to change and what needs to be different. Those two guys need to be on that virtual call in July. Those two guys need to be allowed to talk about what's going on. I would trust them if they had, as well as they have done through this process so far, to be the vocal leaders through this, and explaining how Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State are enacting change to be not behind the curve on whatever is going on, but ahead of it. Because if you can't do that, if you're bringing – this isn't a race thing or trying to divide anything. If you're bringing Spencer Sanders and an offensive lineman,
mm-hmm.
that's nice. We're not here to talk about football today. This is not about football. That's not what anybody wants to talk about. It's not going to do you any favors if you just want to focus on X's and O's. This is the conversation until the season starts. And if you want it to stop being a conversation, then you have to put it to bed.
I think you're 100% right. I think that anything that seems less than completely transparent is going to keep the story exactly where it is right now. I am understanding that I'm asking a question that is unfair in some ways, and I don't expect you to know the answer from Gundy's perspective. I'm not going to ask you to read his mind. I'm going to ask what you felt whenever you saw in the apology. He says, once I learned how that network, specifically talking now about OAN and the shirt, which is again seems like there could be larger issues there. But he says, once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and I knew it was completely unacceptable to me. That quote, to me, it made me raise an eyebrow for a guy who took time in April or whatever it was to write an endorsement for this network publicly and to say, hey, this is great. And also, it was so refreshing. They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinions on this. There's no left. There's no right. They just reported the news, which is like an objectively silly thing to say, even if you love the network. No one loves OAN because it's super stale. It's super like it's not C-SPAN. OAN knows it's not C-SPAN. But whenever you try to take the apology and the statement about it in April, I don't want to be the person that rejects apologies, and I also don't want to accept all apologies that feel disingenuous. So I am genuinely struggling in that space.
So, A, you just quoted your own tweet, which is really impressive.
I don't even know what
I remember that tweet of yours. That was you just quoted yourself. I think I liked that one.
That's good. I didn't even know I was doing that. I finally become. I just passed my own Turing test. Is what just happened.
Very nice. Let's play both sides.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do this. On the one hand, should Gundy have known? Because all of us most people didn't know what OAN was, and they really didn't even know that much after Gundy talked about it in April. Now, I think the entire state of Oklahoma is aware of what OAN is. I have strong feelings. I've voiced them other places. I'll keep them to myself here on radio.
You love it. You've tweeted about how much you love it.
Oh, let me just put it this way. The bots and the morons come out on my Twitter account. It's been a fun night. If someone who's advocating something, if you're going to talk that highly about something, you would think you've invested a good amount of time and energy into it, correct?
That's like, totally fair. That's all I'm saying. That's totally fair. Yeah,
that's how it should be. If I'm promoting something unprovoked, it's not like someone was like, hey, by the way, have you ever checked out that 08? There was no inkling of reason to have that conversation. He's opening it on his own to come talk about it, which is likely where he got that shirt. I bet they mailed it to him.
Oh, I'm sure.
You would think, if I'm going to voice something like that, that I really care about it. So from that standpoint, it's hard to believe that he hasn't watched it or researched it or looked into it so much that he's aware of all their various viewpoints. Okay? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, you are the head coach of a college football team dealing currently with a pandemic and trying to figure all these things out. How the heck does he possibly have the time to invest into OAN to really know all the things they have to say? We keep saying that the network stance on Black Lives Matter is what it is. If I understand correctly, yes, and also mainly just a few specific voices who are allowed to express those opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions, by the way. It is not – don't confuse, like, normal news who just – presents things with their slant with a station that just states things as fact, as someone who is presenting facts. How much time does he really have to watch it? How much time does he really have to invest in it? And has he really seen all the things they have to say?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can like a meal at a restaurant and go tell people to go. I have one good experience at a restaurant and I'll tell people to go eat there.
Sure.
Doesn't mean I've eaten the whole menu.
Right.
So I am trying internally to battle, and you're listening to an internal discussion in my head between how could you go out of your way to promote something that you hadn't really done the research on to be able to promote in that way. So I am trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he wasn't aware that that was individual stances on the network, and now that it has brought to his attention, he's going, oh, okay, maybe it's not what I thought it was.
I think that there are plenty of spaces in that are reasonable. I think at the very least, and I imagine we can agree on this, it's deeply irresponsible. Like, I was just like...
Oh, incredibly so.
Like, we talk about... They're a sponsor, so this is like... You could doubt my motives if you'd like, but it's not a sponsor of me. They're on the station. We talk about Il Lazzarone on this show on a regular basis because they're a pizza place here locally that is incredible, and I would tell you, if you go to Il Lazzarone, you should get the crepa, but I'm confident that if you get... I've had the dessert pizza there. I've had multiple different pizzas there, and I would bet just about anything that every pizza there is great, but I'm telling you specifically... I'm going to eat the crepa. And if you don't like olives, you know, don't get one with olives on it. That's on you. I don't think I would come to this platform and recommend a restaurant that I had only unprovoked that I'd only eaten at one time, especially to just totally mischaracterize a TV network. It's very odd. And that was odd at the time. It's only more odd now.
I agree. And that's why I keep wrapping my grandma. It just doesn't make any sense that he was so pro it, unprovoked, back. Like, did they send him a check with a T-shirt to try and get him on board? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
No one still has any idea why he felt that the need to bring that. It was so strange at the time that I can't imagine that. So one of two things: either he just, which sounds more like Mike Gundy. Shooting from the hip from something that he just watches some but likes what he's seen and hasn't done all the research on in that way, or someone who's seen enough of it to understand their viewpoint on a movement dealing with racial injustice, but is going to wear a T-shirt and allow a picture of him in that T-shirt to be taken anyway.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around the idea that basically he's just either – human or a racist idiot.
Right. The one thing, and I'll let you go. I actually do want to ask kind of one more big picture thing, but the one thing there that I do think is kind of funny is just how much we expect from guys like college coaches and what our standards are as they're leading dozens and dozens of men in a program, in this instance, for a football team. And then occasionally we also just think that they're probably idiots about some things. Like, I'm not even saying that's an inaccurate standard to hold. Like, I don't know how much Andy Reid knows about anything other than football, but he also doesn't volunteer much about stuff other than football until I guess like his last press conference, stuff like that. I don't know. I just find that standard moving funny.
Why do we expect someone whose business and priority is football to understand everything else going on?
Well, for Gundy, like, because he volunteered it, though. That's why it's different for Gundy.
It's also someone who volunteers lots of things that if he had maybe stopped and thought about it, probably wasn't the right thing to say. And that's just kind of the thing with Gundy. To treat the point of that has reached a breaking point of it's time to start thinking about the things that are coming out of your mouth before you say them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to do that. I understand that you're allowed to say what you want as a human being, but there are consequences when you're a person who makes that much money, who's basically like the highest paid person in the state, and is in that big of an important of a role within the state to be able to act that way. If you want to act that way, that's fine. Go ahead and retire and go sit in your farm,
right,
and you can do and say whatever you want. And we'll all just be like, oh, crazy mullet Mike. He just let him go ride his horse around for a bit. He'd be fine.
Right. Okay. It's just that all of that is very funny for a man whose most memorable public moment is him telling you that he's not a kid and that he is in fact a man who should be held to that standard. It's just I find all of that just genuinely kind of funny and kind of a bummer way.
You think it's funny and in a bummer way for you? This is the team that I cheer for.
Yeah. No, I'm appreciating right now the distance in this one, I suppose. Philip, I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate you putting some of it into context for us, and appreciate just the perspective. Tell everybody where they can see your work, hear your work, and all of that again.
Again, you can follow me on Twitter at OKTXARPoke. My DMs are open if you just want to tell me I'm an idiot. That's fine. That's not the first time I've heard it. I am married, and I do have a 1.5-year-old, so my brain isn't functioning at 100% capacity at the moment. I would say check out my Big 12 show, the 10-12 podcast, T-E-N, the number 12, the word podcast. That's what it is on Twitter. That's what it is anywhere podcasts are found. And I do occasionally get to have Mr. Josh Briscoe on my show. So now that I have been in butt out of years, I just want to say thank you very much. It's been fun, man. It's a little weird having the tables turned, though. I gotta be honest, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think I like bossing you around more.
That's fair. Most people would agree with you on that. But yeah, now I've got a little home and home under our belt. Sorry that this was such a not fun reason to have you on the show, but thank you for being on anyway.
Yeah, next time, can we talk about something other than, dilemma?
Have your programs not be racist or suspended. I mean, pick one. Like, just get one of them.
Hey, it's not my fault that the NCAA is a bunch of words that I'm not allowed to say on radio.
No, yeah. Let's run through really quick. The basketball. You have like this killer recruit who can't play in the postseason, right? Is that what you want to talk about, mm-hmm. Philip? Is that what you want to talk about?
I mean, the fact that everything that we've heard is that he's still going to come and play, and so is the entire 2020 class that was ranked in the top 10. You know what? It would be really fun to just somehow like win the Big 12 and throw up a giant middle finger at the NCAA and be like, is this what you want for your tournament?
Look, anything that ends in a giant middle finger to the NCAA, I'm here for, and you know that. So I would appreciate that on its own. Thank you, Philip. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man.
Phillips Lavin, you can follow him on Twitter at OKTXARPoke, which I get. It's Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas Poke. Now I understand it. Again, if you're looking for more Big 12 stuff, the 10-12 podcast is good, except for whenever I'm on it. And I've enjoyed Philip as a Twitter follow for stuff totally unrelated to Oklahoma State. Just a smart, good Twitter follow. But now I've noticed, and you may have noticed also, Oklahoma State has done some things.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beards' silence speaks volumes, which also I would like Rudy to be speaking volumes right now the same way.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Phillips Lobin for joining us. I'm just absolutely berated him for 35 minutes, but I appreciate his perspective. Again, OXT, nope, I bleeped it up. OKTXAR Poke on Twitter and the 1012 podcast. If you're looking for more general Big 12 coverage in your life, it's a good show for that. So the one thing that I wanted to talk about briefly before we run out of runway tonight, I know I may be belaboring this particular point, but it's something that I feel like a lot of people are still kind of missing the point on, not Philip, but just like Twitter, I guess. And so Twitter's not listening now anyway, so it doesn't matter. I really don't want to live in a world where I am not allowed to make a mistake and then apologize and then get some amount of forgiveness. No one wants that. And I think a lot of the times whenever you find people who are super forgiving on maybe a lame apology for a relatively problematic mistake, if you think Gundy qualifies for that, whatever. I think the people who are super forgiving to big problems, even whenever it's a lame apology, I think that typically comes from a place of like, I've got some of these things, or maybe I have some of these things, or maybe I'm going to get hashtag canceled. And I'm trying to make sure that doesn't happen to me. I think that happens a lot. But the one thing I keep thinking of, I don't even know where this phrase originated or who even said it that stuck in my head. It might have been a Bomani thing. I'm not sure. But there's this idea of whenever someone shows you, I think the phrase maybe tells you, but I'm going, whenever someone shows you who they are, you should believe them. And if they keep showing you time and time again negative things, it's okay to believe negative things about them. I'm not talking about somebody else's opinion. I'm not talking about you seeing a couple of meh things and then deciding they're a terrible person. But whenever you get this scope of a person's character, that is how we judge people. And I don't mean nose up snobby judgment. I mean evaluating someone's character in a way that is at least somewhat thoughtful. And so if I say something or do something, and God knows I've said something this week, I'm sure that if someone was like, "Hey, you said this specific thing and you shouldn't have," I'm sure there's something, if not on air, off. If I say in response to that, "Oh yikes, yeah, no, I guess I shouldn't have. All right, well, cool," and then I do it again tomorrow. And then someone says, "Hey, man, you did it again." I'm like, "All right, you know what? I'm sorry. There will be changes in how I talk." And then I do it again the third day. You really shouldn't believe me. Don't cut that out of context. You honestly, like seriously, if I do a thing and then apologize and then do the thing and then apologize and then do the thing and apologize, you shouldn't keep taking my word for that. At that point, I have lost your benefit of the doubt. And I'm not even sure that all of this applies to Gundy. I'm kind of stepping away from that, at least to some extent. We have to, I do think that it's a very human thing to accept an apology and then to want to follow up on those actions. The actions that follow to find proof of not just a change of action, but really a change of heart is the thing that we're really looking for in most of these, and most of these apologies and these circumstances that come with them. And I just think that's how, like, I think that's how most people are raised. You know what I mean? Like, believe when someone shows you what they're made of. And if they keep showing you the same thing and it's garbage over and over again, you stop waiting on some crazy reconciliation because they're not willing to do it. And it's why even like, and this is probably less popular than any of the Gundy-related opinions, I think McCole Hardman, when he got drafted, had some like old tweets that were like, that were, he was probably 14 and were homophobic in some way. I actually think that it's okay to ask about something you said or did when you were 13, 14, 15. As someone who has had a Facebook since I was 13 and would not want to answer for all of those, I think you can say, hey, you said this when you were 13, 14, 15. What does that say about who you are now at 25? And I should have an answer for that. If I said something when I was 15, I should be able to explain to you. And maybe I shouldn't have to, but I'm saying I should have the ability within myself to say, here's how I've changed from 15 to 25, and it's been a big change. There are a lot of things that I either didn't think about or thought about very little or thought about very poorly or at least very differently at 15 than I do now at 25. So I'm not afraid. It would be inconvenient, certainly, but I'm not afraid to have a conversation about what I believe now and how I act now and what I say now as opposed to then, because it's a pretty easy thing to disavow some dumb garbage I posted whenever I was 13. Like, that's just not that difficult. Again, is it necessary to go searching through some every MLB draft pick's old tweets? No, it certainly isn't. If they had something recently that is the punter from the Patriots, if you want to ask if there's a tattoo on a guy's arm, you should ask about that and try to and they're showing you something about them. Ask for clarification and then see what you learn. But even the fringe stuff that my inclination is to look away from, again, tweets when you're 13 or whatever. Those can be learning opportunities and teaching opportunities for the person doing the explaining. Because like my understanding of systemic racism and social injustices are way more advanced than they were whenever I was 15. So if I didn't express those opinions well at 15, I'm sure better at it now. And would be happy to show you how now. I would like to think that the last several weeks have been a platform in which I can do that. And so you could look back to 13 and go, well, this is basically a different person, which is what I would hope. I would hope that everyone feels about their 13, 14, 15-year-old self, because we were all stupid. Not one of you was as smart at 13 as you thought you were. And I'm sure there's somebody who's 35 right now listening and saying, you thought 15 to 25, wait till 25 to 35. I'm sure. And I believe you. And I believe 35 to 45. And I believe that Gundy in 1989 and Gundy in 2020 are different people. Or at least should be judged differently. I guess the question is, are you a different person? And if so, can you show me? If you said something in 1989 that you would not say in 2020, that's fine, but I would like to know that. I don't think it's that unreasonable to ask people to show you how they've evolved as people throughout different phases of their life. That's not particularly, I mean, Gundy's the jumping off point on that one, but that's just something that I have thought about on more than one occasion. By the way, I even think that that's complicated in a way that I'm not sure that I just gave you the code to crack how to handle these types of things. But that's the process that I feel like I've been kind of thinking through, working through, to figure out what's fair to ask of people and what isn't. Holding them accountable to statements they would have made as a teenager or in 1989 or whatever. Saying, hey, that's who you are, that's totally unfair. Totally unfair, deeply unhelpful to say, that's who you were, that's who you are. You are this person that you were when you were 13. No. But if you say, hey, you said that, who are you now? That's a fair question. That's all. Extremely serious. Rudy won, while we were talking to Philip, Rudy won Retro Bowl.
In Retro Bowl. 2 and 4 years.
Building a dynasty.
Bills don't stand a chance against me.
You're the Giants, right?
Correct.
Rudy's always been a Gettleman type.
Except I win.
If you haven't downloaded Retro Bowl on your phone yet, first of all, do. Second of all, don't if you like the time that you have, the free time. Well, I got to tell you, I have won some football games on the toilet now. I'm not going to pretend like I haven't. Rudy, lie to me and say you haven't won some Retro Bowl games sitting on the toilet. Lie to me. Go ahead.
I mean, I've won some Retro Bowl titles sitting here running the show.
So this is basically the same as sitting on the toilet?
No, I'm saying like you win games, I win titles.
And we all do it atop a big pile of bleep.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
And if you roll up and deliver some sort of password.
Oh, you can talk about it. Don't worry. It won't go on air.
Hey, Rudy, your microphone's on, buddy.
Meanwhile.
So it was going out on air.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If that last segment didn't get people mad at me, I have another opinion. Maybe it's a question, but it's going to reveal something about me. Am I broken because I genuinely enjoy unsweetened tea? The people, I actually don't know if it's pronounced Milo's or Milo's. I bet it's Milo's. They make tea and lemonade, and they dropped off a bunch of stuff here at the station on, I think it was like iced tea day. And they even have an Arnold Palmer. No one's paying me to say this. I'm just drinking it. They even have like an Arnold Palmer that's a half and half. I love an iced tea lemonade. Love an Arnold Palmer. But they're like pre-bottled ones. It's sweet tea and lemonade. So I've literally been making them with unsweetened tea in their lemonade. And even if it's just like a two-thirds unsweetened tea and one-third lemonade, just basically a lemony, very lightly sweetened tea. I genuinely prefer that over just a super sweet tea. And I feel like I'm in the incredible minority on that. Also, we're almost out of unsweetened tea here. So I'm really running into a real problem. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Sounds good. Bye, Mom!